Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This week, we're going to talk about healthcare. It's everyone's favorite topic because, number one, it's always a political football that gets tossed around. But also because at the end of the day, when you need healthcare, you really need it. And there's a whole bunch of money being spent on it by both the federal and the state government. And the Ways and Means Committee, I'm the top Republican on the healthcare committee. And I report to this gentleman here that we had on last time talking about taxes, but Kevin Brady, the leader of the Republicans on the Ways and Means Committee, where we cover both healthcare, taxes, trade, and a whole bunch of issues dealing with the economy. But Kevin, welcome back on the show, and we're going to tackle this healthcare issue here
today. Great. Devin, thanks for having me. And everyone knows, you know, the first issue you jumped into when you came to Congress was healthcare. You've been doing that since. Now you're leading our Republican efforts. So thanks for all that you do in this area. It's complicated. Healthcare's, you know, thankfully, I think we have the best healthcare in the world, but it's expensive and not everyone can access it. And it's so complicated. You know what I mean? It's really tough for families. So thanks for being our leader in healthcare.
Thank you, Kevin. So the way that I describe this is, and for those of you who didn't listen last week, Kevin Brady from Texas, top Republican on the Ways and Means Committee, also from the outside suburbs of Houston out to the rural area, from originally South Dakota, college baseball player, two great kids. So Kevin, thanks for being on. But I really look at healthcare this way. There's essentially the tale of two healthcare plans. One is from the central command socialist concept, which is we're going to remove everything to Washington, D.C., and all of us politicians are going to decide what's best for the mom and pop in rural California of the San Joaquin Valley or outside of Houston, Texas. That's one idea where we're going to essentially pray to the gods in Washington, D.C. and beg them to give our doctor money, and they're going to decide what clinic qualifies, what should be okay for someone to get treated with. That's one plan. And, you know, sadly, it's failed miserably because we have something called Medicaid. In California, it's called Medi-Cal. And it's been the bane of my existence because from the San Joaquin Valley here, you can appreciate this, Kevin. We don't get the experts. All the specialists want to be in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Hollywood. Why? Because the government gives them more money to be there. They don't get a lot of money to be here in the San Joaquin Valley. What they've done is they've taken anybody under the poverty line and they throw them onto Medicaid, which is called Medi-Cal, which is essentially just a card. You effectively don't have your choice of doctor. At best, you can get into a clinic, and we've worked a lot with rural healthcare clinics, and that's where, as you know, I put a lot of my effort because that's what my constituents are relegated to that. It's not that it's bad healthcare. I think the clinics are doing a very good job on very little money, but it also shows you that how come we can do it so cheap here in the San Joaquin Valley? Not a lot of choices, not a lot of options, but we are getting people treated. But yet we don't have access. When you get that, you know, specialized cancer growth or tumor or some, or you get in a major accident, you have to leave the San Joaquin Valley and you've got to go to Hollywood or San Francisco to find the doctors. Matter of fact, we even have to go to Texas a lot of times. There's a lot of, I know you do a lot of cancer research there in Texas. So that's one tale, is kind of what we have now, which is we have the Medicare issue. You know, that tends to be a program, still needs to be fixed. It's still got challenges. We spend a lot of money on it, but we are dealing with the elderly population, the senior population in this country. So it's much more complicated. The challenge here is everything else, which is where the Democrats and the socialists want to throw everyone else onto Medicaid or something similar to it, which is where they will decide who your doctor is. We don't believe in that as Republicans. We don't believe in that at all. And what we've tried to do is say, look, maybe instead of letting these bureaucrats and politicians in Washington or in Sacramento or in Austin, Texas, decide what's best for you, maybe we can let you as an individual decide locally how you spend that money. And that's really the difference here. It's, do you trust the local individual, the private person? And Kevin, I'll tell you, I do. I mean, I've seen it work here with people that get a little bit of money and they will go into these clinics. And we've worked with a lot of these rural healthcare clinics to where, you know, they have said that, look, we'd love to have that small family unit decides instead of the money going from Sacramento to Washington back to someone in the form of some program. why not let the local clinic decide and then let that person decide, hey, who within my county, what I'd like to have this doctor and this doctor. I'd like this one for childcare, this one for maybe some kind of technical issue, you know, different types of specialists that we would need. That's how you recruit doctors, is by giving people options. And the sad part is it's, we're already spending more than the rest of the world on healthcare. And I can go on a long time, but let's start there. Kind of the tale of two types of healthcare delivery systems.
Yeah, you're exactly right. At the end of the day, who do you trust with your life and death healthcare decisions? You and your doctor having that discussion, or politicians in Washington? I don't think it's even close. But right now, Democrats are pushing this Medicare for All, which would, in Texas, cancels the private healthcare plans of 21 million Texans and gives control over those decisions to Washington. And as we know, in the Affordable Care Act, it gets more expensive, the premiums go higher, the deductibles go higher. And that's why we have more, like, and I don't know what it is in California, but in Texas, we have more people who have rejected the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, than get on it because they can't use it. You know,
well, and Kevin, I just want to make sure people understand what this is about. The whole idea that where they call it Affordable Care Act, it's that classic example of propaganda, which is whatever they accuse you of doing, they're actually doing it, or it's the opposite. So when they say affordable, means that nobody can afford it. And that's what's happened. It's played out in Texas. It's played out in California. But then when you do a poll and the media gets a hold of it, they call up someone and say, oh, well, do you support Obamacare, which is affordable health care for your family? Well, if you don't understand healthcare, and a lot of people don't until you really need to go to a doctor and you have an emergency, and that's what's at odds here. So you have propagandists in the Socialist Democrat Party selling something that doesn't work, but they're able to get votes on it. And they accuse, you know, they'll accuse, you know, you and me and everybody else of, you're trying to take away the affordable healthcare system. Well, the fact is, that system, like I talked about, there is nothing affordable about it, and it puts you onto a Medicaid system, which is a disaster, which is why you end up with this. If you're an elitist and you have health care and you get to choose your own doctor, you're keeping it, but you want to push everybody else to these clinics and don't bother them, just don't take away our specialists. And ironically, it's the Democrats in the big blue cities with Democratic mayors, they're the ones who get the money. They're the ones who get the specialists, and the rest of America, we don't. And it's really that it's that stark, but it's a challenge for us, right, to go out and be able to sell, because you have to explain, like we've taken here, just time to explain what the difference is.
Yeah, no, it is a challenge. And I think what a difference. So our approach is Republicans much different. We think rather than throw out all the healthcare system and give control to Washington, we believe, look, let's keep what works. Let's fix what doesn't, but let's personalize healthcare. Let's give more power to you, your doctor, your local community on making those decisions rather than give that to Washington. And what that means really is giving you a lot of choices, you know, whether you're that young person starting out really healthy, you know, needs just a good basic plan, whether you're like with you and me, families, you know, with kids who seem to go to the doctor all the time. You know, we need, you know, that comprehensive plan. And then there's folks who are, you know, heading into Medicare, just maybe retired, and they've got 3 or 4 years. So more choices, and especially for, I think you and I get frustrated because, you know, we believe so much in small business, and they have the toughest.
You can take the call. You can take the call.
Really? We're
super casual on this on this podcast here, Kevin.
Sorry about that, Devin. So we believe in small businesses. They struggle the most, especially with workers. And so the Republican approach has been, let's personalize it. Let's give families more choices. Let's really focus on creating affordable health care plans for small businesses, like letting them join together so they can get the same discounts the big guys get, letting their workers have, sometimes you're in between jobs, temporary plans that can last 3 years that are 30 or 40% more affordable than you get anywhere else. So our approach is much more, let's lower costs by giving you more choices, make people compete for your business, you know, not the other way around, and let you choose what works.
I think the best example that we have of how Obamacare has been a total failure, And it's one that gets lost on people. But if you just go out in your community, you'll see it. You'll see it every single day. That is if you're open. But here in California, restaurants, you know, most of them are still closed. Yeah. There's outdoor dining. But there's not a better example than this and how awful this is. So you have in the restaurant business, you know, whether it's McDonald's or your local cafe, this has been so awful because, you know, those people get up. A lot of times they're either younger people or they're people that want to work part-time, or, you know, sometimes it's they're reentering the workforce. It's a great place to start to work. And a lot of these are great small businesses, family operations. Well, what's happened is that nearly everybody in that industry has been, they're limited to 30 hours a week. Now, people, it gets lost on them, but we have to go back and explain it. The reason why is Obamacare. So what happens? You hear the left talk about, oh, people have to have two jobs. They have to have two jobs because of what the Socialist Democrat Party did to them under Obamacare, because no business restaurant can afford Obamacare or healthcare for their employees. So they have to limit them to 30 hours a week. And that's what's happening here. So you have people working two jobs that are doing a great job. These are great jobs in the hospitality industry. They have to work two of them and they still don't get healthcare. And then they get thrown on to Medi-Cal or Medicaid in Texas. And all they get is essentially they don't get a real healthcare decision choice for themselves.
Yeah. No, they really don't. And one, you explained that perfectly. Two, I think some of the most important things we did for families and small businesses in the tax reform bill, we eliminated the penalty for the mandate. So no American, no Californian, no Texan will be forced to buy healthcare they don't want and can't afford. Really important. Secondly, we worked hard over the years, Devin, together, Ways and Means, to eliminate three of the worst taxes in Obamacare that hit families, businesses, and our innovators here in America. We passed that number of times, but most recently we succeeded. The president signed a repeal of those Obamacare taxes. Not only does it help families, but the average senior saves over $270 a year because we got rid of some of those really bad taxes. So we've made progress on that, but we're going to need, frankly, a Republican president and Republican Congress to really give that power back to families again.
And we're going to have to explain to people, which is why it's so difficult, because we have to face this headwind, like I talked about, of, you know, who wants to be the politician that gets rid of something called Affordable Care Act? Because it sounds great, except the fact of the matter is we have to go out and explain, look, it's not affordable. Yeah. And you're exactly right. I forgot about that whole example of the poor guy out working two jobs where their business can't afford to give them health care, but then they were getting punished for not having. That's a great point that we pointed out. That is one big victory that Trump administration and the Republicans had. So rolling forward, you look at, you know, the way that we save Medicare is essentially ensuring that we don't add any more people onto Medicare. We can't just give Medicare for all, because Medicare is a very expensive program, difficult to run, and we need to make changes in Medicare. But you can't just give that to everybody. And that's why I think people get confused too, is that we have that program already. It's called Medicaid, and it's a total and complete failure. So you have those different pockets. You have the people that are working two jobs. We got to get that fixed. And that's an easy fix. That's one of the easy things that we have in our plan. It's because instead of relying on your employer or the government for healthcare, you would actually have money that you would get to go and buy healthcare from your local clinic or your local doctor's office. And maybe walk through that, Kevin, for people about the better plan that we have.
Yeah. So thanks for pointing out too that under Medicare for All, Medicare as it exists today won't, because, you know, people have worked their whole life and paid into Medicare. Democrats are going to heap 180 million people into the Medicare system.
Right.
It isn't going to work. It won't be the same.
Math doesn't add up.
No, it does not. And seniors ought to be frightened about that. But to your point, you know, what we sort of envision, we always describe it as a healthcare backpack, where every individual has a backpack and in it is a healthcare plan they choose that's right for them, you know, and their family at any point in life, that they can take from job to job, state to state, maybe home to start a small business or to raise your family, even into retirement. And in that backpack is your health plan, a health savings account, so you can use your own money tax-free for those basics in healthcare, and then give you control over your medical records. You know, so you decide when you're like your children, when they go to a new doctor, you know what I mean, the ability to get that doctor up to speed, or the ER in a different state when you're traveling. So we want to, and I think a healthcare backpack that you control will lower prices, get you better quality healthcare, and frankly, have something that's right for you your whole life. That's what we're looking to, is personalize healthcare so it works for you.
Yeah, and I want to talk just a little deeper into this healthcare backpack concept, Kevin. So the way to look at this, and people don't, if you've been through a healthcare scare, a healthcare emergency, you really begin to understand this, because this is where you begin to get bounced around. And you see a lot of it, especially if you're on Medicaid, where you've only been going to clinics. You maybe went to this clinic, that clinic, different clinics. Well, nobody has any healthcare history on you. And so it becomes a challenge, number one. It's not that the clinics are doing a bad job, but it's that you're seeing a different doctor every time, and they're not keeping those healthcare records, aren't going with you. So say you move from California to Texas, which unfortunately a lot of our folks are doing. Well, you could have had a 10 or 15 year healthcare history, and maybe you have some underlying issues. It's not making you horribly sick, but you'd have underlying issues. Well, then you pop up into a new clinic in Texas. They've never seen you before. All of a sudden, nobody knows anything about you. Well, maybe if they knew, well, gosh, maybe, you know, he had a, you know, you had this issue and that issue. Wow, we actually, you may have some heart issues here. You may be becoming diabetic. This is what the healthcare backpack's all about, is letting you own it as an individual. So no matter where you move to, right?
Yeah, no, and that's exactly the key. And I think two other issues you and I have been working on these past 2 years, I think is really important for families. One, lowering drug prices. We put together a bill from your health committee that had 40 bipartisan proposals, Republicans, Democrats working together to lower drug prices and get more cures to the market. The second one that we're working together on is to end surprise medical bills. You know, when you go to the ER or you have that scheduled surgery or treatment, and then, look, everyone gets these bills for $2,000, $3,000, you know, that they knew nothing about. And people don't have that kind of money laying around. No one does. And so I think our work there, we're very close. In my view, we're really taking a look at the way California, Texas, some other states have done this. That's been helpful. I'm also hopeful we can get that done, because along with that healthcare backpack, you know, making sure we never get surprise medical bills again would really be, boy, that'd be peace of mind for a lot of Americans.
I totally agree. Well, Kevin, Chairman Brady, I appreciate your time. Thank you for all your work on healthcare, and thank you for helping us to explain to our audience really those tale of two decisions. Either you have a healthcare backpack with personalized healthcare that travels with you everywhere you go, how great that would be as a young kid to have that backpack into adulthood all the way through until you get to Medicare. Think of how much healthier you would have just by having information and accurate information, just all of those tests that you do throughout your life and being able to hold those and have those travel with you versus relying on the government, which we all know how that works today, which is where we're in this middle of this problem, the issues you just brought up, where people get bounced around. Nobody has a, it even happens in Medicare when people get bounced around a different specialist. So there's a lot of solutions out there, but it really takes America coming together and understanding that it's more than slogans. And you cannot allow politicians to run your healthcare from Washington, D.C. And that's from two guys sitting here that have been and watched this now sitting on the healthcare committees, knowing how hard it is just for us to provide. We're challenged with oversight. We're supposed to be overseeing these agencies. It's very, very difficult to do, having us make those decisions for people when it really should be the individual making those decisions.
Well, Devin, thanks for your leadership of Health Subcommittee. And again, you've been on this issue. This is a top priority for you since you got to Congress. It shows. Thanks for your leadership. And we got to keep, look, it's this election's important, you know, for who controls those life-saving decisions. That's why, you know, this podcast, what you're doing is to educate really not just your district, but America. It's so crucial. Thanks for having me.
Kevin, thanks a lot for being with us again.
Devin, thank you. Take care.
All right. This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know if that's no easy road. We started wandering with every road dead ends our dreams. It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.